Hi, everybody. Thank you very much for checking out Telich Talks. Adam Small is an endurance athlete who has done the extraordinary after going through the most harrowing and difficult of experiences. In his early 50s, Adam's fitness journey came in fits and starts. And so in that respect, Adam Small is a lot like a lot of us. He had that marathon phase, and then he kind of let go, put on 65 pounds. He had a gym phase, and then he discovered ultramarathons. But on January 19th of 2023, Adam suffered a serious head injury and broken leg when he was struck by a car while out running. 2 weeks in the hospital, blinding headaches, which, by the way, continue to occur at any moment to this day. So how is it that 2023 became the year of the 100-mile ultra marathon for this man? He ran five of them. Well, Adam Small has a huge and unbreakable spirit. Here is our conversation. Adam Small. Adam, great to have you on the podcast, and I am really curious how a guy who had the battle with the weight for many years, how you actually got into, you know, putting on those running shoes and then starting to lay them down one after the other. Tough process?
It's a tough process every day of the week, John.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Sure.
It goes back a lot of years. This is probably the second time in my life that I'm running a lot. And the first time came to an end, and I became, like many lazy, overweight Americans. And then somehow there was a spark one day that got me started again.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this is my second life of running.
Okay. And but that first time, how extensive was it before you had that long break where you added weight and things got more difficult?
Lasted a little short of 3 years. It started out going to the gym and just going to local 5Ks and 10Ks in the neighborhood. And about halfway through that, I started doing a half marathon and then doing a marathon. And then just came to an end, just career life. And then 100% stopped exercising.
So there was no real impetus for that thing to stop, or just life kind of took you in a different direction?
Yeah, just life took me in a different direction. I wasn't really the daily runner. It was kind of funny. I fell into running as a side effect from going to the gym every day. But it was a different kind of running than I do today. I discovered the local little races, like I said, the 5Ks, and I would run those events, but those were the only times I ran outdoors.
Okay.
As far as I recall, I never ever ran outside except when I went to a race. So, and I loved doing that, but nothing ever went off in my mind. I left work at 5 p.m., put on your shoes and run. That never triggered.
Mm-hmm.
Today, if I would leave work at 5 p.m., I would die to run straight to the trails every day.
Yeah.
So it's a 100% different mindset.
Yeah, it really is. The whole life on the trails is so different.
But today's running started out because I had been going to the gym fairly religiously every day. And then COVID came around and just about every gym out there came to a sudden close, and
yeah,
I was looking for something different to do. And so this was late spring, early summer 2020, and I started out doing a few different things. I was outside riding my bike, or I was out hiking, or I dipped my finger into jogging around the neighborhood a little bit, and none of those three really clicked into high volume.
Mm-hmm.
At once. They took Each of those had some failed starts and stops. And then just somewhere in the summer, later in the summer, I'd say it's it's a modern day miracle, the magic of Facebook. Somehow they knew I had done a few hikes in the Cuyahoga Valley, and they started giving me some pop-ups. Join a trail running club. Check out this race called Burning River. Check out this race called Tuscazoar 5100. And that's what happened. I rode my bike one day past the Burning River while it was actually happening, and I thought it was pretty cool. And then a couple weeks later, I was like, yeah, I saw that pop-up for Tuscazoar. I'm going to go do this race. Just something in my mind, perhaps from 20 years ago, a little bit of embers still burning, that gave me a desire to try something new and exciting, and just swung for the fences.
Yeah, and you hit a home run as far as that was concerned, too.
Just fell in love. I had been out on a few hikes, and in the middle of those hikes, I had just started jogging, sometimes with jeans and a sweater on, like never even went out intending to run on the trails. So yeah. That was literally my first trail run.
That's crazy.
I was wearing a pair of worn-out shoes and jeans and a sweater, and just a couple runs, and just fell in love with it from the first run.
Well, you know, Adam, people will say, okay, that's great. This guy was doing 5Ks, half marathons, marathons, you know, and then there was that lull. But I think we got to get our friends that are listening up to speed on what the lull entailed. I mean, it was years of where you put on a lot of weight, and you're like 65 pounds.
It was probably 14 years even.
14 years,
and
okay.
In those 14 years, I gained probably 65 pounds. Yeah, so that took me till very close to the end of 2017 when I joined the gym and started. I probably had joined the gym way before the end of 2017, but I barely ever went. So by the end of, I think it was Thanksgiving 2017 was when I, because that was when I bought an Apple Watch. So that may have been one of the little triggers to go to the gym every day. Those just stupid little things, your watch going off, you need to exercise. Just little mental games. But that's the point I knew that I was getting regular exercise.
Okay.
And
how deep was the exercise at the gym, for instance?
Like it started out probably at an hour a day.
Okay.
Spinning bike or elliptical. I could tell you I did not step on a treadmill or jog for 3 years.
Okay.
Or two and a half. Well, that was late 2017. So we'd be talking 2.5 years till there was anything of a jog.
Okay.
But like I said, I was overweight. I had gained 65 pounds and never once imagined being fit again in my life. You know, I imagined losing a little bit of weight, but had I known I'd lose 65 pounds, you would have seen me on some Slim Fast commercials holding up my pants. but no, I would never have imagined it would happen. There was not a scintilla of that thought in my mind.
So what
it's
was
just a miracle that it happened?
What was your, you know, what was your vision of yourself? What did you think of yourself? Were you super aware that you were carrying around all that extra weight, or was it something that you're a little bit oblivious to?
I'm tempted to say oblivious, because I think for a man 5'5", 205 pounds is probably average in America today. I mean, I use the word fat, and I don't care what people think. I'm not afraid to say that, but...
No, you're not tiptoeing around this.
No. I mean, I was fat. I consider myself to have been fat one day, so I'm not embarrassed to make fat jokes. People can think whatever they choose to think of that, but unfortunately, I think in America today, for a man my size, 205 pounds is probably just average. I mean, I considered myself to be a fat, you know what, but...
Yeah.
It is what it is. But I never imagined losing any of the weight. I was just oblivious to it. It is what it was.
And you're oblivious to it for several years.
It ballooned over a 14-year period. And it took me several years to lose it. So I'm literally probably exactly back to where I was right when the marathon days ended.
Okay. So you have the 14-year period where you're 65 pounds overweight, and then you were alluding to earlier about how things transversed for you to the point where the COVID. I mean, we saw this happen all over the country. People trapped in their homes, but yet they didn't even notice. You noticed because you started running outdoors. They didn't even notice that these trails were out there for them for you to enjoy and to you can stay away, you can be away from people, you can be socially distanced and all that sort of stuff, but you can get out into the great wide beyond, if you will, and enjoy yourself. Is that kind of like part of your attitude as you got into it?
Yeah, I was vaguely familiar with the towpath. It took me a little while into the gym life to eventually get my bicycle out to the towpath a few times, probably 2018 or 2019. I don't recall when for sure, but I had discovered the towpath, but the trails themselves was something I probably had seen pictures of on Instagram and was just curious to find certain key spots in the Cuyahoga Valley, not for the sake of running or hiking, but just to find, like, say the ledges is one of my favorite spots. And there's those stone steps. So I'd seen the pictures of those steps, and that was something in my mind I wanted to find. So one day I was driving to a bicycle store and I saw the sign for Kendall Ledges, and it went off in my mind. Oh yeah, yeah, there's that park. Yeah. Let me drive there and let me find the picture of those steps that I'd seen a picture of. And I didn't even know there was the ledges and the beautiful views of the sunset and everything there. And just step by step by step, it led to everything else. I didn't know there was a lake there and everything else you could find. I didn't know there was Buttermilk Falls, Brandywine Falls, Blue Hen Falls. Yeah. It just goes on endlessly. So just an incredible world I stepped into by just pure luck.
That is wild. So you were positively impacted by the beauty of it all and the adventure, but you still hadn't dipped your toes into the ultra marathon world. But that changed quickly, didn't it?
Snap of a finger.
What happened?
Like I said before, just that magic of Facebook. That Burning River popped up on my Facebook feed, and I went out and one day on my bicycle, I was on a bike and hike, and I saw the people running by, and I saw them in the heat of their moment. It was probably in the Sunday afternoon, so they were high in their mileage.
Yeah.
So I didn't really see them on the trail. I saw them on the bike and hike, but and like I say, after that, the Tuscazoar was popping up, and something in my mind said I got to go to this race. And I made this insane leap from running in the mid-teens to running 50 miles, which, for lack of any better word, insane. But, but I went out and loved it.
Some part of you thought it would be a negotiable thing.
Yeah. Something in my mind knew I had the fitness base and the desire to pull it off, and I fell in love. But the world of trail running was, quite different than any other sport I had seen. Mm-hmm. I had seen bicycle racing. I had seen marathon running. I had seen the gym life. The ultra and trail running was a lot different. I distinctly recall approaching that first aid station and seeing the delicious food we have at trail races. And I was like, all that went through my mind was, serious? Where are the Cliff Bars and the bananas? And they're giving me the looks like, you're running 50 miles. You can eat anything you want, dude.
That's right.
So, that was a little bit of a shock at first. It was unknown to me because I didn't have a single friend that was a trail runner. I wasn't a member of a trail running club. Mm-hmm. I simply didn't know.
Yeah.
That was the first time it was in front of me. And I was just like, this is so cool. This is like a party. This isn't even like exercise. There was nothing. You had to get out there and obviously run the miles.
Sure,
but
yeah, the miles didn't run themselves.
Right. I mean, that's a wonderful saying, but it was nothing like a marathon where you're out there killing yourself and huffing and puffing and desperately counting those miles and waiting for the cup of water at every mile. This was really fun. I mean, there was pain. I woke up hurting the next day, but I loved it from day one. I loved it and never ever looked back and said it wasn't fun.
What was the feeling of satisfaction that you had, that you attempted something that you said it was a huge leap in the first place from marathon all the way up to 50 miles, and it had been quite a while since you did that, your last marathon, and then now you're running a 50 miler, and you're not only just attempting it. A guy running by us here in University Heights. You finished. Mm-hmm. And what was that feeling like for you?
It was just pure bliss. I mean, I remember my knee hurting at about 35 miles or so, and I had to actually get a tree branch to use like as a big hiking stick to sort of as an aid to sort of pull myself in. But I was like, heck, I'm here. I've made it this far. I'm not giving up. And it's funny because there have been races since that time that I've DNF'd on that I've quit. But that first race, the spark in my mind was so strong. I was like, I've got some pain, but I'm going to get to that darn finish line. And I wish I had that same spark a year ago when I DNF'd two races. And it's funny, but, you know, maybe that first one was the best one of them all.
And you always remember that, you know, that first experience.
And that will go down as my favorite race ever. Yeah. My favorite park ever.
And what did you attempt at? You said there were a couple of DNFs. That does happen. What other types of races did you attempt and have you had satisfaction from over the past so many years?
Two come to mind besides Tuscarora. This past year, and both would be this past year, I did a race called Froggy Mountain 100 in July, this past July, and it was just an incredible experience. It was in Southwest Virginia in a town called Galax. It was a 1 mile loop, which 1.1 mile loop, which we did, I think, 91 times to make 100 miles.
To make 100.
It was extremely hilly would be an understatement.
What was the elevation gain?
It's possibly the hilliest 100 in America, if they would get it certified. The elevation gain was close to 50,000 feet, which I believe is higher than Ouray, Colorado, and some of the other extreme ones. It's high up there.
And how did you come to attempt to run that above just, other races?
Just pure magic. A friend of mine, Rosie Gagnon, told me about it and asked me to come along, and I just said, yeah, sure, why not? I jumped, packed my car, and went, not knowing how extreme it would be, and I had the time of my life. I met wonderful people, and that's what makes this sport so great.
It is. The people are amazing in the sport. Well, I think in some ways we've gotten the cart ahead of the horse in your story, because you were just explaining this incredibly challenging race that you did down in Virginia that you finished, a 100-miler with so much elevation gain. But that attempt and that success came after a real difficult moment in your life. You tell us about the you were hit by a car while running. Can you take us back to that day and what happened to you?
Sure. And there are some gaps because I don't remember everything completely. But on January 19th of 2023, I was with a running club called North Coast Beer Runners in Cleveland Heights. And so that running club runs Thursday evenings. And they do a 5 mile loop. Start on Lee Road at the wine spot, and they go out around a couple of the Shaker Lakes and loop back. So a little bit of road, a little bit of perimeter of the lakes, a little bit of grass, a nice scenic run.
Gotcha.
And on that particular night, according to my watch, I was at 2.99 miles, crossing an intersection, and I was struck by a car. And I, about an hour and a half later, woke up in the hospital.
I know it's got to be difficult to even relive that, and you probably have relived it, maybe not spoken about it that much, but certainly relived it in your mind. Tell me how difficult was the recovery, and how extensive were those injuries for you, Adam?
Two completely different injuries. The lesser of the two injuries was a broken fibula, which prevented me from walking for a couple of weeks. Ultimately, that healed in approximately 30 days, I think. I was originally on.
Mm-hmm.
I was originally had a cast on my leg and was on a walker, and then eventually on crutches, and then eventually walking with, my trekking pole instead of a cane or anything like that, which they would have otherwise had given me.
Mm-hmm.
Which ultimately led to crutch walking, crutch jogging, and hiking as far as my recovery went. But the more severe and ongoing injury was I had a very severe concussion, which led me to stay in the hospital for 14 days, nearly completely bedbound. And that has led me to suffer from a continuing symptom, which is called post-concussion syndrome, which has a large number of side effects in addition to concussion headaches, which are similar to but not the same as migraine headaches. And it's kind of a game of Russian roulette. I can have good days, I can have good weeks. And then it's completely random what I could wake up with. There's no telling what symptom will pop up or when it will pop up. So I have to maximize the good days and good weeks as much as I possibly can, because when the bad days come and the bad weeks come, the downtime can be unknown.
So it's literally banking the good days with zero knowledge of when you might get hit with some, not just maybe one bad day, but a succession of bad days, right?
And that could, and that in itself could lead into why I've pushed myself so hard to recover as swiftly as possible and strongly and go as far as I can. Versus, you know, versus previous years, because like you say, I got to bank the time, and I got to bank the enjoyment.
And I'm sure you have folks that are saying, hold on here, young man, why are you doing this to yourself? You're running all these miles or taking on these incredibly tough challenges like the one down in Virginia. What do you say to those? The folks that want you to kind of woe Nelly it?
That's a good question. For the most part, I ignore them. I'm not looking to fight with people, and I'm not looking to, you know, there's no exact science to, you know, you have experts, but the experts aren't the guys that were out there running those 100 miles either. The people who are running the 100 miles all have their own opinions, so it's, and I could give you my opinions too, but I'm not going to dictate how you plan your fitness routine either. I could give you a little bit of advice, but you have to take it on your own accord too. The people who criticize it, I've found it best to just ignore them and walk away. They could have a million reasons. Some, they could think that they're better than me because they run more. They could think they're better because they've been doing it longer, or because they're jealous, or whatever. But all I know is I was able to do it, and I'm happy, and it makes, you know, and I've been good at it, and that's all that matters. I'm not looking to get out there and sell anybody any plans, because I do recognize that it's a little extreme, and everything about this sport is extreme.
When you're perfectly healthy, it's extreme. And so, you know, when you're dealing with what you're coming off of,
the healthiest person in the world running 100 miles is extreme, and most experts will tell you not to do that. So it is what it is.
It sure is. But you continue to run and then work on other assets and facets of your life as well. And it gives you enjoyment, and it motivates you, and it keeps that 65 pounds from years ago from revisiting your life. But you keep on running. You get enjoyment from it, right?
Definitely. And, you know, I've been looking to balance that out with the cycling, and I've recently joined the gym again. So it's important to have some balance in there with a few other things.
And can you tell me, as we sit here chatting on the 9th of January, when was the last time you had a tough day that you described to me before? Was it recently, or has it been a few months? Or?
Surprisingly, I don't log it, even though I've been told to. Probably 2.5 weeks ago, I know I did the Dreadmill 100 challenge, I think.
That was a virtual kind of a challenge, right?
That was the virtual event. I think that was 2 weeks ago today. And I recall the week before that I wasn't feeling well, so I wasn't sure if that was going to happen or not. That was a pick. You could pick any day in December to do that.
Okay.
And I wasn't sure it was going to happen. I recall the week before not feeling well, and I had some gaps. But then I just, as soon as I felt well, I was like, I better get on the treadmill and do this while I'm in a good position.
Mm-hmm. But it's really seen you through some tough days, this running. Extreme though may deem it to be, it's almost been life-saving for you, or psyche-saving for you?
Definitely psyche saving. It's something that inside makes me happy and gives me a sense of accomplishment. But also, from early on, the doctors did stress exercise. Now, you can put quotes around that term because everyone has a different emphasis on what exercise means as far as duration and quantity. But you know, with a head injury, with a brain injury, there is medical evidence that you need to get the blood flow to your brain increased. So you do gotta have the daily exercise has proven to be beneficial to me. When I don't get daily exercise, like I said, I don't have a log, but I can make a very good speculation if I go too many days without exercise, the headaches will come back faster.
Mm-hmm. Now, folks might say just the mere act of running could bring some kind of, you know, vibrations to the head. Are they just kind of speaking out of the wrong side of their mouth on something like that?
I don't have any medical or psychological education, so I'm not going to answer that. I failed chemistry in college, so I'm in zero position to give any honest answer to that. I can honestly say it makes me feel better, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, it's in the big picture, that's all that you need.
You know, there's the saying, runner's high. I don't know if I can achieve that, but there are people who do, so maybe it's a myth, maybe it isn't.
What's next for you?
I have a race in the end of March called Georgia Death Race, which is a 74-mile race in the Georgia mountains. It's referred to as the toughest race on the East Coast. So I'm looking forward to that, especially living here in Northeast Ohio where it's fairly flat. I'm looking forward to some mountain challenge, some unknown surprises, I guess you could say, because I haven't traveled. There's a lot of America I haven't seen, so I'm going to be in for a bit of a surprise, but I'll give it my best shot.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. But yet again, you know, you traveled down to Virginia and you did that incredible race, and this is no different. This is just as challenging, mm-hmm. and it's renowned for how tough it is. You certainly like to take on the biggest challenges. There's something way, you know, deep in the recesses of your mind that feels like compels you to go that route? Self-examination, if you will?
I don't know. I don't have a good answer to that. There's certainly fun in the accomplishment. And it's funny, I think, like I said before, if you go to a race of these high distances, you're going to see different kinds of people. You're going to see people who finish a race with a big smile on their face. I think if you would look at pictures of me, you will never find a finish where I don't have a big smile. I always feel happy doing this. You're going to find people who have a scowl on their face and look mad, and I don't know why, but mm-hmm. but to me, doing these big challenges or these insane events, they make me happy, and yes, they do give me an incredible sense of accomplishment to do something that a very, very small percentage of Americans can pull off.
Well, I give you a lot of credit because, first of all, just to survive what you did, to have those injuries, to deal with the unknown, you know, knowing when you might have one of these episodes that come upon you. And yet you're tackling something that you enjoy more than just about anything else is, you know, the fact that you can get out, use your body, stay fit, challenge yourself, and go forward. I give you a lot of credit for that, Adam. And I think you serve as, you know, someone that people can look to and say, wow, this guy is really getting after it. And he's been through a lot. But yet the beauty is that he's pursuing his craft, and it gives him pleasure. So maybe someone who's not as well-versed in fitness or running or trails might think about that a little bit extra and say, yep, that could be something for me.
Well, definitely. I mean, I hope I can inspire. I won't lie, there's been a lot of painful days. There have been two races where I've literally had to stop and go to sleep. So
sure.
I don't want to sugarcoat it and pretend it's been easy. And there have been more training days than I can count where I've had to literally stop. And those are doctor's orders. If you got the headaches, you got pain, stop immediately. So it is a barrier that I've also had to work around.
Well, I'm hoping that the year 2024 is a great one for you. Good luck down in Georgia. And more than anything, I hope to share some miles with you in the future.
Oh, I definitely look forward to running with you, John. Thank you so much.
You bet.
As we mentioned, he ran five 100 milers in 2023. He ran 1,900 miles, intentionally 100 miles short of his goal of 2,000 for the year. Those 100 missing miles signifying, well, at least 100 days of his life lost in hospitals and clinics, recovering from that serious accident and also dealing with those blinding headaches and migraines. His running really is a miracle. Thanks, Adam, very much for opening up to me and my great listeners about your story. And to you, dear listener, if you like the pod, kindly hit that follow button, leave a review and or a comment. And until next time, we look forward to the next edition of Telich Talks. I'll see you then. Thanks.